as the image of life is a lot of crossroads, and slowly it gets you somewhere. So I believe that I've been through many crossroads, and at a certain point I felt like I was ready. I could hold the camera and have my own lecture of things.
Fabrice Monteiro is one of the artists invited to take part into the SIDS project. Together with Angelica Stepken, director at Villa Romana, we sat with him and talked about his practice, his photography work, and his relation with the African continent.
So it was really like I spent 12 years modeling and observing fashion photographers working. I think I assimilate a lot of things about light, about postures, about how to create a fashion image. So when I moved to the other side, naturally, I started with doing fashion images, but quickly it was very boring to me. I had many questions that I was asking myself, I think for a very long time since I was a kid, as someone that has been living between Africa and Europe with an European and African parent. I had these questions about the human condition, and it was a way for me to express it and try to have a conversation with the viewer, to create images about specific subjects and initiate a conversation. When it comes to photograph about Africa, to me it would never come down to the basic human feelings, human sentiment, which would be like love, friendship, fun, having a good time in family and things like that. So, for example, in my Korean summer series, I wanted to show pictures of happiness, of simple pleasures, of friendship, and all these kind of things that is not much shown when it comes to Africa. So I would use pictures of people having, like, being just humans, questions that I would have about religions. It would be global issues like the environmental issues that we're going through in a very global approach. And all this is really a way to bring the people together.
Listening to what you say now, one could imagine that you are a documentary photographer going into families, churches, and showing everyday life or human conditions. But instead, your photography is very much about staging. It's very much about the body, the pride of body. It's the feeling also of resistance, of strength, of fashion. I mean, you have a very special view and a very special staging of the figures. You are not a documentary photographer.
No, I don't see myself as a documentary photographer. I see myself as someone who would use any tool that is in disposal for the purpose of a subject. So if it goes through documentary photography, I would use documentary photography. If it goes through staging things in a natural environment, I will do it. If it goes about a full conceptual work or full conceptual image, I will do it. And that's why I think there's not like a specific style. I could use black and white and color. I could use film or digital. It's really up to what the result that I want to give. The style needs to serve the purpose. So to me, the purpose comes first, and then I choose the tool, how I'm going to get to the result that I want.
But isn't the body central?
I wouldn't say the body central. I would say the human is central. In all my photography, the human is central. I'll give you an example. In my project, The Prophecy, which is about environment, I felt like the media wanted to classify it as a Afrofuturistical work. And I remember I was doing that interview, and they were asking me about this Afrofuturistical, and I'm saying, I don't feel my work is Afrofuturistical. I don't feel the need of projecting myself in the future, because I believe we still have, we have so much to deal with the present, and we have so much to deal with what is now. Then I think, to me, it's another way of getting away for the main purpose of the work, you know? It's been a blessing for me to go back to the continent. It gave me the possibility to do long-term subject, to treat long-term subject, which I think is very important when it comes to working in Africa, just not going there and do like a quick kind of exotic series of a specific subject, but really take it in the long term and see where it takes you. The response I had from some of my work were very interesting. If I come back to that series, Black and White, The Gorean Summer, I would show it to Senegalese people and they would say, oh, this is not Senegal. Which means that even them who live, it's their country, but they still don't have that perspective on their own country. For example, when I was doing the prophecy, it started all with a conversation. I see a young guy throwing a bottle under a car, and I'm just automatically, this thing came up and he hears it, which was like, if even the people who are educated act like that, we're never gonna get out of this situation. And this guy came to me, he heard that, he came to me and said, what did you say? And we started to have a conversation. He went back to take his bottle, came back and said, thank you. And from there, I had this idea of like, having an environmental consciousness is not something that is automatic. If you're not educated that way, it doesn't come naturally. So I said, okay, I want to do something that the people could refer to. And the way to do it for me is to connect with animism, because animism has always been of much importance on the continent. And it was there before Catholicism or Islam. So the idea was really to create a series that would involve spirits and create some kind of environmental awareness in the new generation. I came up with this idea of building a tale, African kind of storytelling, and build the images that would go with it to have enough impact on the people so it could attract their interest. So we made this outdoor exhibition on the road, so people would see the picture from far. And they would get attracted to it because it appeals to them, these spirits, these huge spirits coming out of the garbage. And when they would get close to it, there would be another panel with all the facts about the specific issue. And from there, we would start, a conversation would start. And you realize that the people are much more aware of things than think they are. And this fact of seeing that they're not alone kind of create that movement where people say, start to make something change in the everyday life. I think my main concern is the human. I think the most important thing is project like that where you can really have an exchange with people. And of course, I'm super happy to be able to travel and show my work here and there. But I think the thing that is always important to me is what is the message and easily readable? You know, I really need to speak to the most people. Whenever I do in my process of working, it has to speak to the most, and not be something that is that needs many explanation to be understood. I would call it a third perspective, not a perspective as an Afro-African, not a perspective as a European coming to do a subject in Africa. But someone that is in between two worlds. There's no projection because every picture that I take is being taken in an environment that is real, that is actual. It's happening now.
Maybe it's a point to speak about the Seeds Project because it relates to, let's say, racist photography in 19th century, the era of colonialism, and to the people who arrived here as migrants.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been working now for a little while on a project that is in many different chapters. And in one of these chapters, I was very interested in the concept of race and how this word was used to create division between people. And when it comes to photography, I got into the archives of ethnographic photography and I found this technical photography invented at the end of the 19th century by Sir Galton, I believe, originally was used to identify the they wanted to make the portrait, the type portrait of criminals. And then later they said that, okay, maybe we can use it to identify the different ethnies and the different races. So I reinvested that technique. And I want to use it in a way to point out how the migrants are represented. Well, the process is that you take, for example, I would consider a family and we take a portrait of each member of the family. And by putting the portrait one on the top of each other, only the main features would come out. So that's the technique that I try to use to identify the different ethnies too, and different races. But of course you don't hear much about it because it never worked. It's a technique that doesn't work because by essence, photography tells the truth, and the truth is there's only one race, which is the human race. And there's so many elements that comes into each one of us genetically that you cannot create groups, human groups. It's just impossible. In a certain way, the migrants, they have been dehumanized, and I believe that the medias have a lot to do with it in the way they are represented, and the way the factor of being a human being doesn't exist anymore. And I had to go all the way back to find answers to that into the images that have been created of Africans since the early days of slavery, and how all of us have been, in a certain way, manipulated by certain stereotypes and certain imagery. To me, using that imagery and taking it to a certain extreme, ironize on it, I'm pushing the viewer to think again about his perspective on the situation, not taking it for granted as something that you just absorb what the media are giving you without really thinking about it, but really reconsider it, taking the time to consider it as consider these people as humans again. To me, the history of humans and the history of humanity has been a history of exchange all time, exchange and migrations. I think none of us, he's probably from where you think he is. And humans have always been mixed between them. And this, we come into a situation now where there's been masses of people coming to Europe because precisely of what has been, of this world that has been created, and this globalism which take always more from the poorest and give more to the richest. So the thing that I'm facing now is that instead of saying, okay, now we need to really take the thing seriously and take responsibilities, there's like this retraction. And I see it in the populism that is all over Europe now. Instead of saying, okay, let's see what we can do now that the situation is there, there's like this kind of, no, we don't want any, we want to close all the borders and we don't want anyone to come here, but it will never be a solution. As long as you don't confront the problem, it will never be a solution to build more walls. The history has proved it. So it's really, to me, it's really a message to the, it's not the message to the one who goes, it's the message to the one who receive, to the one who is here and has to deal with the situation, but it needs to know the whole story, not just a little part of it and making conclusion out of a small part of the story. They need to know the whole story to make to act the right way. And it's even in the images. You have these images of these floating boats on the Mediterranean Sea with shadows on it, wearing orange lav vest. All these images take part in this humanization. You know, it becomes something that is blurry, that is not clear, that we don't know. But all we know that the media is giving us, that these people, they come in to invade us. So we have to protect ourselves. So I really think in that project, to me, it was important to rehumanize all these people by taking their portraits to me and using that specific technique. It's a way of confronting the Western world to finally the monsters that they built. because to me that's how it is.
This is Radio Papesse at Villa Romana. RadioPapesse.org.